Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And thank goodness for my good friend, Executive Director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig. Dr. Craig, thank you for coming to the rescue. I have been blowing the gasket. I had to take my high blood pressure medication during the break. I don't know if you listened to any of the first, the last hour of the show, but I was talking about something that frustrated me that I saw in the news last night, and that was, one of the reporters from one of the local television stations in Milwaukee questioning Mandela Barnes about a lingerie party when he was 22 years old, as if that somehow, and demanding that he gives an answer, as if that somehow means something today, as if that somehow is such an egregious thing that this is something and big news, and so they should be grilling him on that. And so, I just lost my bearing as there were some conservative callers who seemed to think that's a big deal.
I'm afraid your conservative callers think anything that cascade on a Democrat opponent of theirs is completely valid, and valid things about people they support, Donald Trump or Ron Johnson, are not, right? They're just brushed off, even when they're much more serious. So conservatives like that are so ideological, they don't even have a common standard of ethics they apply across ideologies. I mean, how can you even have a conversation with them? You can't. And here's the problem with the media. I understand the media frustration that campaign professionals and all major campaigns now with big money campaigns try to put the candidates in a cocoon, right, and get them staying on safe talking points so they feel frustrated that they're trying to find something real. But then what they end up doing is they start punishing people for being real human beings. I mean, Earl, you know me. I'm one of the most straight-laced persons you could ever meet, right? But I've been to a couple bachelor parties with college buddies of mine that I did not do anything, but I'm not proud I attended these events. And I don't see how it would reflect on my ability to do my current job or do anything else I might apply for. And in Mandela's case, he's applying to be our U.S. senator. And I don't, I just mean he's a real human being, doesn't it, Earl?
You know, Dr. Craig, to say that that somehow eliminates you, I understand why conservative talk hosts are saying that because Ron Johnson is in trouble. And so I understand that. But if that's the measuring stick, Dr. Craig, you were at a lingerie party, when you were 22 years old, and that somehow is not normal. If that's the best they can dig up on you, Dr. Craig, you didn't pay your parking tickets on time. I didn't when I was 22. You fell behind on your property taxes. So did I. Does that make you a criminal? Does that mean that you can't, and you did this, does that mean that then you don't have the character necessary to run for the office when you're running against a guy like Ron Johnson, for heaven's sakes?
I thought, to quote Lincoln, this was government of the people, by the people, for the people. If it's of the people, real people will be our elected representatives. And would you really want elected representatives who, like the father in the movie East of Eden, with James Dean, who is so upright and perfect that he's inhuman to both his kids, right? Because he's just too perfect and too straight-laced and too moral. The good news is I think most voters, the lingerie party, will land on them that way, especially folks who might change their vote or would or be discouraged or encouraged to vote. In other words, the folks who are already going to be conservative voters, they're not even in play here, right?
Right.
I mean, if they can volunteer and reach other voters, they have an impact, but they themselves didn't, they will be voting. I think more scary is the first Ron Johnson ad against Mandela Barnes, which associates him with the squad and has scary pictures of the squad saying scary things about defunding the police and has and then talks about ICE and has, you know, one of those sleazy right-wing videos of Mexican people supposedly storming the border in waves, you know, those videos.
Yeah, that's not funny.
It's just a totally disgusting ad, and it puts his picture next to what they thought for voters would be the scariest-looking members of the squad, who are just the most progressive members of Congress. They are not scary. They have not incited insurrection, unlike the furthest-right members of Congress.
You know, Dr. Craig, I also spent some time this morning trying to point out a guy like Tim Michaels, who went to Kenosha, probably has never been there before, and showed up for the 2-year anniversary to point the finger and of blame at Governor Evers for what took place with the riot after the Jacob Blake shooting. And I was saying to people, I was there, and I was saying how important it was the way that Governor Evers handled that situation without bringing in the National Guard that Donald Trump wanted to, which would have made things 100% worse. He handled it the right way. But this is what they do, Dr. Craig. They don't have anything else. They're grasping for straws because they're in trouble.
Well, let's start even with causes. The cause of the civil unrest in Kenosha, I don't want to fall into the riot terminology, right?
Right.
Was police conduct and our society's continual refusal to face up to the fact that police treat many people, low-income people of color, very differently, and especially black men, than other people. And that it's a completely different experience, but the police unions are so strong in some notion it makes us safer. The question is, who does it make safer? I guess Tim Michaels feels safer, and the people he thinks he's appealing to, it certainly is not safe for an African American man who becomes targeted. And furthermore, most of the people there were there to express their most fundamental constitutional rights at the center of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. Yes, in that situation, it got out of control because some people damaged property. A lot of those folks were not
Minnesota.
Who did that,
were we not found out they were from Minnesota, right?
And they were not part of the peaceful protest movement that now all gets lumped together. This is the right wing bait and switch as rioters. And furthermore, I don't know exactly how Tim Michaels is going to prevent it, because he's certainly not going to have police accountability. And so he's certainly not going to deal with our system of mass incarceration, which continues to damage our society dramatically and cost a ton of money. What's he going to do? Is he going to be like the governor who shot down, 8-hour day protesters, people protesting for that, and the Bayview massacre in the late 19th century? A governor of Wisconsin gave the shoot to kill order to the National Guard. Is that what we're going to get from Tim Michaels? How is he going to prevent all the quote unquote rioting, and what is that going to look like?
You know, Dr. Craig, You have helped me calm down, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. I was about to blow a gasket because just the problem that I had with it more than anything else, Dr. Craig, was that the local media would take their almost marching orders from the conservatives and the Republicans, even though this was a non-story. Right? I mean, I just don't understand the local news and then to continue to hammer away at Mandela. And yeah, it's you certainly, as the news media, you have an a right to ask questions, but let's find something of importance, of value, Dr. Craig, with all the things that we are facing in this nation. Aren't there more important questions and issues that the media should be talking about with candidates than that?
Well, and they talk about issues to a preposterously limited degree. The other thing they want to talk about is the horse race and the latest polls and trying to, I don't know, convince voters that there's already a result out there, right? And because God forbid they should actually get deep into the issues, the reporters, or explain the issues that matter as far as who is a U.S. senator to the voting public so they can make better decisions. In other words, the media, as a mostly corporate entity, is simply into engagement clicks, and I think they figure asking about lingerie parties will get a lot of clicks, and therefore they get more advertising. That's what's going on here. But the media also, in terms of its frame, it confuses balance, objectivity, with each side has an equal number of problems. In other words, Ron Johnson, because there are so many issues with Ron Johnson, I mean, that sleazy tax cut that he got out of the Trump tax cut where he held it all up for himself and two billionaires, Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline, that funded his campaign to a large extent, $20 million in 2016, doing it again this time. He wants to subject Social Security and Medicare to annual budget appropriation to be cut off or to be reduced. That they were specifically designed to avoid that fate. And Congress doesn't work, partly because of people like Ron Johnson and his filibuster and his extreme ideology. So those are the issues. But once they cover that, then they go, we gotta sign something on Mandela. And then I guess it's like, oh, we have this rumor about a lingerie party, because that's from, what they're down to.
From 2013. Anyway, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guess is my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. What do you say? We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. My guess is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, it was almost a foregone conclusion. We have been led to believe that the Republicans were going to take over the House and take the Senate, and it was going to be a bloodbath, and they were believing that ink themselves months ago, and so we're going to take control of everything, and we're going to run this thing the way it should be run. A funny thing happened on the way, Dr. Craig. What's going on?
Well, what's really happened, Earl, is that the Democrats were going to be in trouble because voters feel like the country's going in the wrong direction and the Democrats are technically in charge. What's happened, I think, is the Republicans have been so effective in hamstringing Democrats, especially with their rigging of the U.S. Supreme Court and the horrible decisions coming down there, especially Roe v. Wade overturned, but that's not the only one. That's the Hobbs decision. But in addition, you know, the insurrection and Trump's continued presence and clear status as the front runner to run again, and his clear criminality. And as a result, the Republicans are not seen as the out of power party. And, you know, the public is actually right about that. And there is a lot of negativism, much stronger than against Biden, against what they have been doing with the power they have held on to in this system. And the Roe versus Wade overturning that being a big factor, but not the only one, because a poll coming out last week said the top concern of voters is not the cost of living now, it is the threat to democracy. And so what's interesting is most Democratic voters think the country's going in the wrong direction, but they think it not because of Biden, for the most part, though there are some issues there. They think it because what conservative Republicans have pulled off and what they're doing to our constitutional rights and to democracy. And what this does is this makes this a very unusual midterm election for a president whose party also controls Congress. The last big aberration like this was how well George W. Bush did after 9/11 in his first midterm, because he didn't get clobbered either because of that, and then won re-election. And so this is also seems to have changed. In other words, the Republicans are a victim of their own success. And in fact, they would not even be able to hold the House, because Mitch McConnell is beginning to admit they're not going to take the Senate, and they could lose ground because he says it's a problem with candidate quality, which is also true, which has to do with more kind of self-inflicted wounds. The Republicans really are too extreme when you have Herschel Walker and the hillbilly Trumpster in Ohio and the insurrectionists in Pennsylvania and all these folks, the one in Arizona, and this has been the Senate races. So in the House, the only reason the Republicans still favored is because of gross gerrymandering, which again is another Republican rigging of the system against majority rule. So I would just say it's now become a 50-50. And we saw that last night, Earl, where in a key swing district that votes like Wisconsin, voted for Trump in 16 and then voted for Biden in 2020 and very closely contested, the Democrat won, not the Republican. So it does not look like a wave year for Republicans, but they could still take back the House and gum up government and do every crazy investigation imaginable. It'll make the Benghazi investigations look like nothing. They're going to go and threaten Merrick Garland, right? The wannabe House Speaker's already told him to keep all his records and clear his calendar. So they're going to have fake show hearings like the McCarthy kind of hearings aimed at anyone who investigates their insurrection.
You know, Dr. Craig, they certainly have shot themselves in the foot. The Roe versus Wade decision, more women are registering to vote. They know that they made a major mistake there, and yet they can't even look at it objectively and say, hey, we made a major mistake here. We are completely in states across the nation saying zero chances at abortion. So they've gotten themselves
right
in a situation.
Their own legislatures are all right, are going to the max and doing highly unpopular things. Our legislature, which is an unfair gerrymandered majority, it's not really the representative legislature, is insisting on the 1849 law, right? So that it's not just a decision, it's how Republican legislatures and governors are acting in regard to the new powers they have. They don't have to do this.
You know, Dr. Craig, and it just goes to show, clearly the divide. What role, Dr. Craig, do you think the divide with Donald Trump still controlling, even though they push back and they act as though Donald Trump is not in control of our party, he still is. I mean, clearly he still is the guy driving the train. Listen, we've got to go to break. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I'm glad he's here. You can join us. We'll be right back.
You never call around to see me again. Never meet my
Freedom Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, I have, just monopolized the conversation. Where do you want to go?
Well, I didn't expect to take over host, but I'll just say, based on your headline, Earl,
Oh, go ahead.
I think that President Biden, I think this is inevitable, seems to be about to announce canceling $10,000 in student debt. I thought that was inevitable because he's been pushing back, when interest rate payments will start again. So he clearly knows he can't just suddenly have these interest rates start getting charged again and have students, impacted that way when he promised that he would do $10,000 in debt cancellation. So looks like a few months before the election, he's going to follow through. I think he was waiting until he had gotten everything he needed out of Joe. He could get as much as he did out of Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, who has archaic fiscal views. And so now he's doing this. I think it was inevitable. I do think it has, though I think what we really do is take on the cost of college education and student financial aid generally, which is far too dependent on loans, and college education is the only thing that has grown faster than the cost of college is the cost of health care in this country, and it needs similar solutions. But having said that, this does have a big equity impact because lower-income kids, black and brown kids, they're the ones who suffer from the worst debt, and they often aren't even able to finish their degrees and then get nothing out of it, or have degrees that aren't worth as much disproportionately. Some of them have Ivy League degrees, but a smaller proportion of them. And so, in fact, it's unclear that college, if you end up with $50,000 in debt, pays for itself anymore. The whole economy's changed. And so I commend Biden for doing this, but it's only one step, Earl, towards dealing with the affordability crisis in college education.
So Dr. Craig, let's go here. Governor Evers just announced on yesterday a tax cut, $5 billion is projected to be the surplus on the state level, and he's looking to do the right thing with it, finally, to offer the people in the state who struggle the most, who haven't benefited from under, Scott Walker and the governorship of Republicans and controlling things. And so he certainly wants to do something to help the people who struggle the most in this state, and yet there are Republicans who are frustrated because he's offering, a tax cut, a tax break, and they don't want what they always talk about what they do, but they don't want to say yes because they don't want him to get any credit. Well, I mean, Dr. Craig, help me figure these things out, because you're all wise and powerful, and I can't figure these people out.
Look, our basic public services, our schools, our cities, healthcare, public health, are all underfunded. I mean, this is an outrage. In fact, we shouldn't be even thinking about tax cuts except for tax cuts that are refundable tax cuts for the lowest income folks. This is much broader than that, right? This is going to benefit middle and upper middle class people. So I think that, we need to reelect Governor Evers because the alternative is catastrophic, right? Tim Michels, right. We knew that. And Governor Evers can be worked with as a reasonable man, is a partner with progressives, but is himself on the far conservative end of the party. Maybe not as far as Manchin, but in that neighborhood. And I just think he's operating in the 90s if he thinks dueling tax cuts are the way to win elections, but he thinks they are. My concern would be he signed a very regressive Republican tax cut as part of the state budget. He could have, he didn't have to accept that part. He could have vetoed it and then claimed it was a middle class tax cut. It actually made the tax system more regressive and less fair. And I'm concerned now that we have a rigged legislature that has to produce Republican majority because of the maps that the state and federal Supreme Court imposed upon us, the unelected the federal judges and the not elected to legislate state Supreme Court justices. And that he will still feel, if he wins, an obligation to go and do this with a Republican legislature. They will not pass any of the things that help lower-income people, Earl. So they'll do something like they did last time, and I hope he doesn't sign off again. But as far as the election, if he's just doing it as an election stunt, the Republicans are so disingenuous on taxes. I'm not against that, but I'm concerned that Governor Evers means it. And that means not doing, unfortunately, the progressive parts of it, because the Republicans just won't pass those parts, and they'll do their own, and they'll have a choice of accepting it or walking away from it. So that is the problem. He has a veto, but he does not have he cannot write bills and get them passed through the lawmaking body of the Wisconsin government. So in terms of polling, Earl, taxes is just not a big issue. It's not what's driving this election. But the Republicans have just been so horrible. This business, Earl, about the 87,000 armed IRS agents, I mean, this is an amazing lie. There is no number on how many more agents will be created. That's some sort of formula estimate. There is nothing that says they will be armed. There is a very small IRS armed unit for dealing with dangerous situations. The IRS has a lot of functions that we don't use, that the average citizen doesn't deal with. This has nothing to do with that. They're insisting this is to send armed IRS agents go to shake down small business owners and lower income and middle class people. It just isn't. This is about the absolute epidemic of tax cheating by the ultra wealthy in our society and their legions of accountants and bankers that work for them and tax lawyers. And that is what is about, and that is all is about. This doesn't need, all this does, quite frankly, is repair some of the damage to the IRS, which has been cut and cut and cut and can't even enforce our tax laws right now. You notice how they're tough on crime when it comes to a poor African-American young man in the city, and how they are incredibly soft on crime when it comes to tax cheating on a massive scale by the wealthiest in our society.
You know, Dr. Craig, man, you're just so on point with these issues. What are your thoughts about there apparently seems to be some easing of tensions on the state level by Republicans who may be willing to ease up a little bit on allowing the city and maybe to create a 1 cent sales tax, things that at least it sounds like there's an overture to kind of back off of how tough they've been on the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Is it too early to get excited about that, or is that much ado about nothing?
Well, it sort of, you can be excited if you start from a very low base of expectations, because the sales tax is the most aggressive kind of tax, so it's very bittersweet. This is a replacement for the shared revenue that the state is supposed to be providing to the to cities and counties and based on a progressive income tax, and they're not doing that, and there's no talk of doing it with a surplus. So maybe they'll throw a bone there. It makes up for some of their damage, and it makes the poorest among us actually pay for it, because people who are very low income spend all their money, and they spend it on things like food that are and other, not food, but other things that are taxed, right? Everything else in their lives that is not food. In Illinois, they tax food, but they have a holiday right now, which is even worse and scary. But we tax most everything other than food. We don't tax some things, some services that middle and wealthy people use, middle class and wealthy people. So I wouldn't. I guess it's bittersweet to me. I mean, the city desperately needs the money, but it's the worst way to get it. And the state is still And then in a way, the Republicans get off the hook. They get to say they allowed you to do this and escape scrutiny for their criminal treatment of their obligation to help fund local government in this state, which has been a tradition for a very long time. The federal government used to, under Biden anyway, to help fund state and local government, but the state government has abrogated its own responsibilities. So I would say, if I remember, Tim Michaels and leading Republicans are still running on the idea they're going to break up NPS and put it under state and suburban control. Suburban, I say, because their legislative majorities get to appoint the members, and those members are therefore, and that's their biggest base is Waukesha County. So it's good. If you look at what Tim Michaels is running on, it's going to be very awful, even if they give Mayor Johnson a little more fiscal wiggle room by giving him the ability to tax, to have a very regressive tax, increasing the sales tax.
You know, the scuttlebutt, Dr. Craig, is this is in response to, you know, the mayor of the city of Milwaukee saying yay to the Republican convention coming in 2024, some kind of a trade-off, if you will.
That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that we want to talk about risking a riot. I mean, we're bringing the party of insurrection into the city, and we're talking about the economic benefits. They want weighed in the possibility of political violence from this gun-toting party, because that believes in open carry, and is going to come to our city and is going to attack our city, attack the poorest among us in our city, attack the north side, right, and make it sound like it's Beirut. That's what they're going to do, and they're going to be armed.
you know, Dr. Craig, we're at a point. And you have been in this, I don't call it a game. People call it a game. We should never look at it as a game, because people's lives are at stake in what happens politically in this nation. And every time I hear people say, well, you got to understand the game, I'm like, man, you're talking to the wrong person. People's lives are impacted and affected by this. And anybody who refers to it as a game should not be in public office. And yet when you see where we are, Dr. Craig, all these different moving parts, is this a place that we haven't been in a long time in this country? I mean, this divide, Dr. Craig, is real. It's serious. And the last thing we need is for people to ignore it and not realize just how dangerous a time it is.
This is like the 1850s. It's like the 1920s. This is extremely dangerous. And all you have to do is look around the world and look at what the situation looks like, to have a broken democracy, a broken society, right, to have a side that is willing to use violence and is willing to impose minority rule. They've already started to do it. In other words, the insurrection has offended a lot of people, but a lot of people have been fine with guaranteeing that the legislature is only represented by one party in a state, right? By rigging the rules or limiting voting for the constituents of our opponents, right? Make it harder for them to vote, all of those things. And so it is very important we prove democracy works right now. And one of the ways we have to do that is to actually to vote and to win elections. The other is to show that democracy can produce gains. And that's why the recent gains by Joe Biden are very important, Earl, because they start to prove case that democracy can work.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. On the line, my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Jack from Merrimack. Jack, you there? Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jack.
The screen froze again. Sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead, Jack.
Anyway, I come from a time when a president said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And another great American had a dream that all Americans could live with acceptance of each other and each other's differences. Americans actually united in those days to force legislation and at least in law, gave civil rights to millions of Americans who didn't have them, gave medical coverage to seniors. Today, we've got a political party that literally does nothing but sow division via lies like replacement theory, xenophobia, LGBTQ phobia, and the like. They've stoked the fear in their acolytes to produce anger and hate and incited them to an incredibly self-harming tribalism. They only think either of their irrational fears or owning the libs, whatever that means. So they vote that way regardless of the harm they do to themselves, their families, their kids' futures, America, Americans. It's simple tribalism, but unless it changes, we are headed to fascism. And it won't be what our founding fathers feared, tyranny of the majority. We now have, especially in Wisconsin, a tyranny of the minority, ramming their hideous ideas on the rest of us. I guess my question is, when are these people going to wake up to the damage they've been doing to all of us, including themselves, and start getting rid of these people that just keep trying to destroy America?
You know, Jack, that is so well said. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Jack? Hang on, Jack.
Jack makes a great point. And you got to remember that this has been a very well-funded movement. It's been funded by billionaires and by corporate America because it advances their interests. Now, with a lot of corporations that have funded these kind of candidates over the years and institutions that have used this kind of rhetoric, they were looking for short-term gains and just assuming they weren't necessarily ideological, but they found it convenient for themselves because they could get what they wanted as far as getting out of taxes or getting out of various regulations, such as public health and pollution regulations, you name it, and or allowing, you know, the ability to charge whatever you want if you're a prescription drug company. But they have built up this public human prejudice and bias and, hatred of people perceived as the others. That is across human populations. But they have built it up on the right into a frenzy pitch deliberately for political purposes, for purposes of power. And they've created a monster. That's why you see Republicans like Mitch McConnell, you know, not wanting Donald Trump to do what he's doing, but also being trapped, right? Because this is also a constituency he needs. And that's why a lot of Republicans who know better, who are in Congress, prefer their jobs over doing the right thing, doing what Lynn Cheney is willing to do, sacrifice her congressional career to do the right thing. And so the problem is they're not going to change. The people who are orchestrating this, your Tucker Carlson's every night, are not going to change. The people they've revved up to a frenzy can't see. They're in a fog. They're in a fog of war. They think it's a war. And so I think Jack is talking about a middle group that might be persuaded. That is beginning to happen with some of them noticing like things like the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the Hobbs decision, and independent voters in suburbs being much more open to Democrats. So that's beginning to happen. We also just need to inspire and turn out a lot more folks because we are the majority. And that means Democrats need to be more progressive in actually achieving things for those people who have the least in our society. And there's a lot of cynicism, say, among young African-American voters that nothing changes whoever they vote for, so why should they vote? And we need to solve that problem as well by actually delivering and actually inspiring them. But the only solution, Jack, I think, is to win elections. They have to be defeated. That's what has to happen. But it'd be much better to defeat them peacefully through what's left of our electoral process than to have to defeat them in a civil war, in which case both sides loot their souls, and we're not the same if we're in such a war either. Both sides have changed by violence at that scale.
You know, Dr. Craig, you put it so succinctly, and it really is. I mean, when I talk about these things on a daily basis, people say to me, well, you know, you're embellishing these things. No, Jack is right. You're right, Dr. Craig. It's the times that we are in, and we are so close to a situation that can really begin to be the downfall of this nation. And so we're that close. And if we don't get these things right, they'll be talking about this. It's a historic time in whichever direction it goes, and we hope it goes in the right direction. That's where we are now, and people should not take it lightly. That's where we are.
There was a growing majority when the Great Depression went on and all, and Herbert Hoover's administration was unable to cope with it, to move to authoritarian form of government. Liberal democracy was failing all over the world and falling to autocracy. And to everyone's surprise, Franklin Delano Roosevelt showed democracy could work, and to the extent that we've forgotten we even had that existential crisis. I think that's the ultimate solution, and I think we're within range. If we really work hard in this election to get a governing majority, not to have to worry about Manchin and Sinema, and pass President Biden's entire agenda and keep building on that. If you just look at all the things that were left on the floor, cutting room floor, because of Joe Manchin, it would be the greatest advances since the New Deal, and then we can build on those, because more is necessary after that. So I think that there, and in fact, the Inflation Reduction Act is a start, but we're in a position to pick up 2-3 net Senate seats, including Wisconsin. We got to beat Ron Johnson here, so everyone has agency. Earl, in some states, people have less role. We have a role here in Wisconsin, saving democracy, because we're one of the states that determine the outcome.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's always an honor and a privilege to have your eloquent voice over the airways. Thank you for always accepting the opportunity to come in and get our community to hear it from a warrior who's been in the fight for a long time. So always great to have you on, my friend.
Always great to be on. Thanks for what you do to really advance the public square, Earl.
All right, thank you. That's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank all of you who made the show go. Thank you, as always. Kind of couldn't do it without you. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be back tomorrow. Connor, I promise to take more of my high blood pressure meds and and make it a little bit easier on tomorrow. All right, see you later.